Welcome back, comic book fans around the world, to another exciting episode of Contest of Champions. Our triple D for tonight stands for Dirty Dog Disclaimer, as last week's episode, our guests forgot to clean up after Lockjaw, Sasquatch, and Cosmo. So be glad that this is a podcast so that you don't have to smell what was left behind. Smeller discretion is definitely advised this week.
Let's get ready to rumble!
This is season 3 of our live version of the show and our 56th episode here on the COC. It is our goal to look at everything in the comic book world, from superhero fights to our opinions on the best stories and news and whatnot out there. So feel free to contact us, let us know what you think, or even better, tell us what you would like to hear us discuss. With us this week, we welcome back the Dirty Dan himself, Mr. Spider-Man Geek, Dan Brienne. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. And hello, ladies.
There's no ladies. Yeah, there's no ladies. Yeah, there's no ladies listening to this either.
The hell is this sausage fest?
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
And we need to get some kicks in on this, man.
And licking his wounds from last week, who experienced the descent of the Atlanta Falcons. There was no more rising up for them. So, Mr. Tom McNeely, how you doing, Tom?
I'm doing all right. I've almost recuperated.
Yeah, are you okay there?
Yeah, I was pretty bummed, and then to make matters worse, I had to get on a flight the next morning with a bunch of 49ers fans heading back for San Francisco.
That's too bad.
Although the guy who's singing from me was actually pretty brave. He actually wore his Falcons jersey to all the way to San Fran. But
there you go.
I didn't do that, but I definitely would have if we'd won.
Right.
But we pulled the same thing we did against Seahawks. Got an early lead and then squandered it. So what are you going to do?
Yep. What are you going to do? Well, missing tonight is the Cape Killer. He is I think buried under a certain amount of snow up there in the Great White North, and I don't think he was able to bury himself out in time for the show tonight. So, so with us tonight though is your ever dependable host, myself, the clobbering clergyman, Jeff Jackson. So, so everybody's doing okay?
Mm-hmm.
You guys missed one hell of a show last week.
Yeah. Yeah, I listened to it actually, so it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was intense.
A lot of butt sniffing going on.
There was. I have no idea what that was all about. It was crazy. So, but yeah, very good. Anything exciting happened this week for you guys? No.
Not really.
Oh man,
working all week.
Working, yeah. I've been sick. I've been out pretty much of work all week. I started feeling the crud Monday afternoon, and I've been out a lot. So I've been sitting on my ass in bed. I watched I don't have pay per view or anything like that, but and I'm not actually I don't watch a lot of wrestling these days. But I used to be a huge wrestling fan, but so I was so bored that I watched like 4 or 5 years worth of Royal Rumble matches on the internet. So that was what my week was worth. So so anyway, well, let's kick off the show and let's start with our highs and lows of the week. All of our guests select 2 books of the week from this week's releases, or from, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, depending on what they've read, and one that they were disappointed with, and one that they really enjoyed. And Dan, how about you, my friend? You haven't been on the show for a while, so let us know. Did you read anything at all that you might want to share with us?
Barely. I mean, last time I was on, I don't even think Amazing Spider-Man 700 was out. I was never able to give my opinion on that.
Well, go ahead. Do that.
Yeah. Either that and or Superior Spider-Man, which I thought were both fantastic books.
Geek says so.
Yeah, I know. You know, I keep giving some praise to Dan Slott on Twitter. I mean, I think they're doing a fantastic job, and it's really, really something new and fresh, I think, with what's going on with Spider-Man. So it's a fun read. I don't know why people are getting their panties in a bunch about it. Just enjoy it for what it is. Like, what do you want? The same character you've been reading for 50 years? Like, it's obviously nice to spice thing up. Yeah, I mean, spice it up a bit. So, and plus, the way it's written, everybody knows none of this is going to be permanent, right?
Right.
So, but, you know, a book where you have Dan Slott, you know, Ryan Stegman on the art, I mean, you can't lose. The Superior Spider-Man number one was fantastic. It was awesome. It really, you know, I just sped right through it. It was just so good. I read it twice, actually. Other than that, I just recently read, I was talking to you about this earlier, Astonishing X-Men 58. Which I had stopped reading for a while because really, I don't know, Marjorie Liu really turned me off of Astonishing X-Men. But this issue that I read, number 58, was the little Warbird story, and I think it was pretty good. I really enjoyed the art, which I believe is a different artist than, it's not Mike Perkins.
Right. Oh.
Right.
Anything's better than Mike Perkins.
Exactly. On Astonishing, anyways. So I did enjoy the art that was there, and it was a nice story and some more character development for Warbird, which is nice. I have yet to read Uncanny Avengers, which I'm actually looking forward to.
Mm. You mean number three or the whole series so far?
Oh no, I've read one and two. Yeah, it's number three. I have it right here, but I haven't cracked it open yet. Same with Gambit. I've been enjoying Gambit a lot. If I had to go with an overall low, mm-hmm. It would have to be the whole Murder Circus arc with Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah,
I mean, it was kind of okay, but the art was a little too clean for the subject matter. I think it dragged on a little. Like, what was it, three or four issues? Yeah. It was a little long just to have a member, what is it, the Black Rourke, I think, change his name at the end of it. That was the entire outcome. And, you know, there might be a bit of repercussions with consequences with what happened with Itty. Yeah. Oya. She has the weirdest names. Her code name's Oya, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me. But, you know, it's two
characters. Yeah! No, it's oh yeah!
Oh yeah! Two characters nobody really, really gives a shit about, and it just dragged us. So, yeah, Wolverine and the X-Men's in a bit of a lull. I have issue 24 here, which I haven't read yet. So I'm going to take a gander at that and see if anything's changed since this little arc is over.
Well, I won't spoil any of that for you.
Good.
Yeah.
This isn't the water cooler.
No, it's not the water cooler. So. All right, Tom, how about you, man?
Well, I'm actually at the moment between new shipments to shipments to new comics. So I'm actually back in my backlog, which goes back many years. So I'm reading the issues leading up to Secret Invasion. So, yes, I'm that far behind, 5 years. And I've actually enjoyed. I couldn't find anything I didn't like out of what I've read in the last couple of weeks. But out of what I liked, one batch I read was Incredible Hercules 112 through 116, which had it's when the series first took over after World War Hulk, and you know, it became Hercules and Amadeus Cho's book, and just the beginning of the arc was really funny, especially their little road trip to San Francisco and meeting the Eternals. And I really liked it where Icarus gets into a fight with Hercules. He's trying to wake Herc up to if you remember the Neil Gaiman Eternals series had all the Eternals have been put into kind of sleeper mode, and they were trying to be reawakened. Icarus was going around trying to reawaken them to remember who they were. So he starts thinking Hercules is actually Gilgamesh, and so they get into a big battle. He's trying to basically pound sense into Hercules and convince him he's Gilgamesh, and Herc is like, no, I'm Hercules. And so that just goes back and forth, big pointless battle, I mean, as usual. So I really liked that. I also liked the New Avengers Illuminati series, and then of course New Avengers and Mighty Avengers were both really good as well. So that's what I've got going on. I should be getting my new comics any day now, so probably next week I'll finally have some new issues to report.
Awesome. So do you have a low?
Do I have a what?
Do you have a low? Did you say what your low was?
Oh, no, I didn't. I liked everything I read in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I mean, it was The Incredible Hercules, some New Avengers, Mighty Avengers, Avengers the Initiative, and New Avengers Illuminati.
Yeah.
Ms. Marvel 25, 26, and 27, which I also thought was a really good story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so far, they really did a good job setting the storyline up, and I knew that going in. I knew it was at least started off really well.
That's great.
So I'm looking forward to finding read the storyline. I hate having to hear you guys talk about it, know that it's going to be 5 years before I actually get to read it myself.
Yeah. Well, there you go. All right. Well, let's see. My low has to be this just waste of paper called A plus X, number 4, which featured a Beast and Spider-Man story, which was done by I don't have it in front of me. What's his name? Kieran Dwyer, is that his name?
Yeah, I think sure. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Okay. That guy. And let's see. There was another story that had Captain America and Quentin Quire. And both stories just didn't have anything to do with anything. Beast and Spider-Man get magically transported to some world where everybody's a beast, like blue fur beast, like the Beast. And this lady tries to seduce, this lady cat tries to seduce Hank, and Spider-Man is fighting this giant cat beast in this arena, and it doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's just
is this cat beast, or the new monster beast?
It's cat beast, and they actually said on the title page or on the front credit page, wait a second, isn't Beast supposed to be like an ape or something like that now? And it basically says, oh, just forget that. This happens. This takes place before that or something like that.
Okay.
And then they say something about, isn't Spider-Man supposed to be Dr. Octopus? And they're like, oh no, yeah, it takes place before that too. So,
so in other words, it takes place before anything current. So it therefore is irrelevant.
If I remember correctly, the solicitations had this cover, was supposed to be issue number 3. And last issue was solicited as number 4. So I think one of these creators was taking their sweet time, and they ended up swapping the two books. So I think it just came – this is actually a late issue, even though it's – I think they just did a little switcheroo there. But
if you remember filler issues back when they don't have them quite as much anymore, but they used to be that they always had an issue in the file drawer that if something was running late, they could just whip it out and it'd be an interim story that said right in the middle of the storyline, you just have an issue made and had absolutely no relation to the rest of the story.
Right.
Maybe a hastily drawn opening and closing panel with a flashback or something. But that's about it.
Yeah. So let's see. So yeah, I would just not recommend this issue at all. It's pretty bad. But my high of the week, actually my real high, I'm going to be talking about on the 100th episode of Tales from the Water Cooler. I'd talk a little bit about a different book this week. So my other high is FF number 3. I have to say this book is wonderful. This whole Matt Fraction, Mike Allred, Mark Bagley thing going on with the Fantastic Four, I love it. I love the Fantastic Four issues where they're off in space doing their own thing, but I'm loving what Matt Fraction is doing with this ragtag group of Fantastic Four members, Scott Lang, She-Hulk, Medusa, and Miss Thing, or Darla Deering. And in this issue, Darla is still contemplating. She just doesn't think that she's not really, she's a pop star. She's not really a superhero. But she's dating Johnny Storm, and he just got her to fill in because, you know, it was kind of a fluke. And but now that the FF, it doesn't look like the FF, the Fantastic Four are going to be coming home anytime soon. These four are the new Fantastic Four, and it's just really, really fun. And so Scott has to go and figure out. He has to figure out how to get Darla back on the team, and so he goes and gets her flowers. But then she gets attacked by the Yancey Street Gang, and then there's this huge sequence within the issue where she and oh, hold on, I gotta bring Dan back in here. He got cut off somehow. Where she and Scott are chasing the Yancey Street Gang, and she's wearing nothing but a towel. And if you like Mike Allred's art style, one of the things that he does is he likes to I'm sure there's a word for it, but kind of it's very like animation. Like he'll have a panel that's like a long panel of like a stairwell, and it will have Scott Lang kind of chasing somebody down the stairwell, but like in multiple figures, and so
it's kind of cartoony looking.
Well, it's not just cartoony, but I mean, what he does is he duplicates the same figure, or he duplicates the figure of somebody just moving down the page.
Yeah,
okay. You know, and so it's just it's if he does that a lot. He did that a lot in Madman. He did that a lot in other books that he's done, but he did that in this issue with Darla and Scott trying to chase after these Yancey Street Gang guys, and it was just fun. I mean, the one question you have to be like is, okay, she does this whole thing while wearing a bath towel, and if that's possible at all, it's not. But anyway, it was still fun. It was just a great fun issue, and. I don't know. It's just I really like what Matt Fraction is doing here. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's a really really fun solid book. It just doesn't take itself too seriously. It's good stuff. So there we go. So those are our highs and lows of the week. So. So let's see. We're going to move on to. I don't know what's going on with Dan. He's having trouble connecting.
I'm still on, by the way.
Yeah, I know. So we're going to move on to this week's comic news. So the biggest news this week, I think, is Dan, you there? Oh, still no. Son of a gun. Well, the biggest news is that Star Wars Episode 7 has found its director, and that director is none other than J.J. Abrams.
Yay!
Yeah.
Let's hope he doesn't decide to do a time warp and reboot the whole thing, but...
Oh, I don't think he'd do that.
Oh, no, he could retcon Jar Jar and the Ewoks out, and I don't think he'd buy mine, but That's true.
So this is interesting because, I mean, I think most people know this, but Abrams has directed not just one successful Star Trek movie, but he's about to release the second Star Trek movie, and so now going to direct, you know, what some might consider the rival franchise is a little bit strange. In somewhat of a turn of events, Abrams has reportedly had been saying in December that he was not going to be doing Star Wars. But I guess if Disney granted him a Jabba the Hutt size wad of cash, I guess he changed his mind. So, yeah. So what do you think about that?
I think he'll make it. He'll do a good job with it, unless he decides to do a Bryan Singer and jump off one franchise for a rival franchise and then tank the rival franchise.
Ooh, now that's an interesting scenario. I hadn't thought of that.
Because everybody was excited when Singer jumped to do Superman, and then it turned out the Superman movie was a real disappointment. All the special effects were awesome. The plot was
better. Well, and that was because he tried way too hard to make Superman Returns like the Richard Donner Superman movies.
Yeah, he tried to make a sequel to a 20-year-old movie and only taking place five years later.
Well, and to be honest, Abrams is doing the exact same thing, because this is actually the direct sequel to Return of the Jedi, which is what...
I thought it was going to be set like a generation later. So it would be... The characters would have aged 30 years, and it would be their children. And basically, it's going to be the continuing adventures.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking, that they will have, like, Luke and Leia and you know, Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill and so on will appear, but they... Yeah, they'll be the mentors, and it'll be their children and so on doing the actual adventuring.
Okay.
At least that was my understanding from why.
Well, right, but I mean, it is a direct sequel because there hasn't been another movie that takes place after.
Yeah. There have been books and novels and stuff, and I'm not sure how much of that continuity will be kept and how much they're going to jettison and do a new thing.
Yeah. Well, it will be interesting to see. Dan, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So do I sound okay?
You do. So
okay, I switched over to my laptop, so...
There you go. So what do you think about this whole J.J. Abrams thing?
Why, what's happening with him?
He died. He died in a car accident.
I didn't really hear what you guys said, but...
We were praising it overall.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with it at all. I mean, J.J. Abrams, I think, is, I don't know if you want to say this generation's Steven Spielberg, but basically everything he touches turns to gold. I mean, he's right behind or in front of Joss Whedon in that sense.
Yeah.
He's got Lost, and we were just talking about Star Trek. And then now he's getting Star Wars as well. The Mission Impossible, he revived Mission Impossible. The franchise I thought was going to be dead after Mission Impossible 2, and I never saw 3, but 4 was really good. Ghost Protocol was really good.
Yeah, 4 was really good. He's definitely a...
Wait, he did Mission Impossible?
Yeah, 4, 3 and 4.
And 3 and 4, yeah.
Really? I need to watch those. Like, I stopped watching after the second one because I was like, why are they still making
it? Second one was horrible.
Yeah. Why are they making
this? Yeah, the second one was so bad, I never watched the third one. I heard it was great, but I never watched it. And then,
so J.J. Abrams did Mission Impossible 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 is really good. I haven't seen 3 yet. I'll watch it. I'll get the DVD when but
see, I'll watch anything. I mean, I loved Cloverfield. That was great.
Oh, that was good. Yeah.
That was a great movie.
Oh, and Fringe. He's the executive producer of Fringe.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the guys definitely got the chops. I mean, I didn't really care much about Star Trek. I'm not much of a Trekkie, but when that movie came out, I thought, holy cow, this is fantastic.
Yeah, I thought he did a brilliant job of rebooting the franchise without pissing everybody off.
Yeah, I think it was very true to the original, but updating it in a cool way.
And doing it in a... Well, I guess you'd call it realistic way in the science fiction-y realistic way. In other words, it's an alternate timeline, so therefore you don't have to gripe about, well, it doesn't look like Shatner, or Shatner didn't do this. You know, it basically gave him a whole new way to play with it without having to mess with all the current continuity.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So
and have to deal with the reboot, like Spider-Man, where suddenly three previous movies just less than a decade ago never happened, and now we have to start all over again.
Right. Right.
So it was
smart for Star Trek in the way that they weren't discounting anything that happened like the other movies, right? They just happened to be an alternate universe, mm-hmm. almost like Ultimate Star Trek.
Yeah. And then Spock tied them both together too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see for him to take, because I in this sense, J.J., I don't think will have as many, like, it's a lot of weight on his shoulders. He won't be able to take as many liberties with the Star Wars universe, as he could and did with Star Trek. I mean, the world, unless he reboots it, but I don't think Disney wants that. I don't think the fans want that.
No, I think what I'm thinking they're going to do is either pull some plot elements out of some of the sequel books, the follow-ups to you know, the New Adventures type stuff where mm-hmm. Luke marries Mara Jade and Leia and Han get married and have twins and so on.
Right.
And have try to bring that to the movies, or he will just jettison all the books and go with a new continuity after the original movies.
I don't think I think it would be the former rather than the latter.
I think he's going to try to pull in some plot elements. There's going to be some violations. I mean, you can't keep the continuity over 30 years of novels and so on. But
here's really what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm thinking is, how hard is it to actually direct a Star Wars movie? Like, seriously, all you really have to do, I mean, you have to have a good story. You have to have good actors. So all of that part is important. So the writing and the casting and all of that stuff is really, really important. But then, like, once you're directing it, all it is like all you're doing is just sliding screens back and forth. You got to do the scroll at the top. You gotta do some cool shots from the planets. You have to have those close by destroyer spaceship battles and things like that. But you know,
The choreographed lightsaber battles.
Oh yeah, that's true. But he doesn't have to direct
the circle, the focus in, focus out of the scene changes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like the black circle. Like.
Yeah, exactly. Which we can all now do thanks to Apple computers. Anyway.
Oh yeah, the fading between scenes. Yeah, I think he's going to probably borrow some of those tricks from Lucas to maintain the thematic continuity of the movie. But I think he'll have more of a dynamic aspect to it.
Did Lucas have scripts already written for episode 7 to 9?
I don't think so.
I don't think he did.
No, he just kind of had it in his head, probably, like that.
Yeah, he had a backstory for 1, 2, and 3. I know he had a backstory before he filmed 4, but he didn't, and he fleshed it out years ago, but but never got around to making the original trilogy until 2 decades later.
Yeah, yeah.
This one's being I can't remember the guy's name, but this one's being the screenplay's being written by the guy who did Little Miss Sunshine. So I don't know what that tells you, but
well, I mean, Joss Whedon did Toy Story and Roseanne.
That's true. Yeah, very true.
And so there. I mean, that doesn't always say something. Now, there is a lot to be. Well, he does have the good thing about him working on Star Trek already means he's used to doing the space epics and the heavy special effects.
Right.
And that's something that can be tough for a live action director to adapt to, is having to shoot so much virtual reality. Motion capture and all that stuff. It's a new tools he has to learn how to use. But in his case, he already knows how to do all that stuff. So I think he'll be able to bring a pretty good vision to it.
Here's what I think that's going to happen. Here's my prediction for Star Trek Into Darkness. Is that the name of the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At the end of Star Trek, Darth Vader's going to come out.
Yeah, it'll just be a crossover.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be a lead in to the next Star Wars movie. Their universe is since they have now they've now shown that there are multiple universes in this Star Trek world.
You have mirror universe.
So they'll do a parallel and they'll look into whatever and it will there'll be Luke Skywalker and Han Solo standing there.
Yeah,
that's what I heard is happening at least.
Well, the Star Trek the trailer has come out for the new Star Trek movie. It looks like they're hinting at it's a remake of Wrath of Khan, but you don't know. They won't say what the name of the villain is. But
Khan is definitely in it.
Well, that's what the rumor is, but they haven't actually said he's Noonien Singh.
Oh.
Okay. They just says an old enemy's return. He wipes out Starfleet. Captain Kirk has to prove his worth in the captain's chair and so on. And then there are a couple scenes there. There's one scene that looks like Spock's death scene in Star Trek II. He's in a glass cubicle with a doing the the Live Long and Prosper salute through the glass with over Kirk's hand.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that doesn't say anything because I know nothing about the actual plot of the movie.
Well, there you go.
They're just hinting at a lot of Wrath of Khan elements in it.
I haven't even looked at the trailers for it.
Yeah, I just saw the quickie one. That it.
The trailer's pretty cool. I mean, you have like a starship crashing into San Francisco Harbor, or San Francisco Bay.
Nice.
Yeah, with like a big wave, tidal wave washing up over it as it plows into the water.
Well, in one more piece of movie news, it has been announced that Anna Paquin, Sean Ashmore, and Ellen Page will be reprising their roles as Rogue, Iceman, and Kitty Pryde, respectively, in Bryan Singer's sequel/prequel mashup story, X-Men Days of Future Past.
Nice.
And this is quite a score since these, especially these three actors, have gone on to become even more successful since they donned the X-Men uniform. So, so it's that's a mighty big thing. I can't imagine what this movie is going to be like.
I don't know. It's going to be pretty exciting. I mean, it's a great story to pick up on, and I hope they make a few more moves to try to straighten out the continuity differences between First Class and the original trilogy.
Yeah, I don't think you can. And
Wolverine.
Oh.
And by the way, the new Wolverine movie looks. I'm hearing good buzz about it so far.
Yeah, yeah.
They're basing out the Frank Miller miniseries.
Right, right. Yeah, I think you can't quite. You can't think too hard about the continuity between the first franchise or the first trilogy and this new stuff.
Were there that many big differences? I don't really remember.
The main one is in X. I guess it's X-Men 3, where they go and visit Jean Grey.
Yeah, and Charles is walking, right?
And Charles is walking, yes, but he's bald, and it's very, you know, very much Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen, and so.
Well, there was also the end of Wolverine when, in the Wolverine movie, X-Men Origins Wolverine, you had Emma Frost was a little girl, yet she's fully grown in the prequel.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
But she's never referred to as Emma Frost in the movie. She's just cast as Diamond Girl.
Diamond Girl.
Telepath you can turn to diamond. Yeah, that's not hinting at stuff. Plus, Havoc is older than Cyclops, apparently.
Right.
And so there's some things like that. Plus, yeah, at the end of X-Men Origins, when Xavier walks off the helicopter and at the end of First Class, he's paralyzed. So.
Right. Maybe he got better. You know, it could be following. It could be following. Comic book continuity there, because you know in sometimes he's walking and sometimes he's in a wheelchair, then he's back up on his feet, and
oh yeah, you never know, freaking guy.
Yeah. Xavier's regained his use of his legs more than anybody.
Yeah,
he's probably faking it the entire time.
I'm thinking in this movie what's they're going to show is that they're going to have to reclone his body and then he's going to be walking again.
And then he gets then Magneto crushes his spine
and yeah, exactly.
Or something.
Yeah, right. So,
or the Shadow King crushes it, or his nanotechnology fails, or whatever. I mean, that's,
right. Which time you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Well, one last little piece of news that there's a little bit of buzz on comicattack.net. Someone is leaving our sibling podcast, Tales from the Water Cooler, with a press release that was sent out this week stating, who will not make it past episode number 100? It looks like someone is gunning for the water cooler guys. So you got to check out episode number 100 this week and find out who gets killed off. And it could be Decapitated Dan. It could be Infinite Speech. It could be the Southern Sensation. But we'll all have to tune in and find out. It's definitely not me because I don't have my. There's no crosshairs over my face because I'm not in the picture that was posted on on Facebook. So
I should Photoshop you into a little corner.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, maybe I shouldn't go on the show. It should be a kind of a dangerous episode, I think. But
it might be collateral damage. You might you might get hit by a ricochet. You never know.
That's true.
because I mean, it's pretty hard to aim at a head, right?
That's
just
true.
A head.
I know. Yeah. Well, right, and there are guys out there gunning for roles on the water cooler. There are guys out there who are.
There's
a
bidding war.
Yeah, exactly. It's prime real estate in the basement of that abandoned comic book shop. So, yeah. So check that out next week. So, moving on to our Fight Club fight of the week. Each week we create a scenario or use something that has happened in comics to create a COC Fight Club. I don't know really what makes it a club, but I don't know. Maybe somebody could use a club tonight. In this week's battle, this one is a little bit of a toughie, I think. This battle features Hawkeye versus Bullseye. Who do you think wins in the matchup?
I would predict Bullseye.
Why?
Bullseye never misses, and he has adamantium bones.
Does he have adamantium bones?
Well, he had an adamantium spine.
Yeah.
Just spine. I don't know. I don't even know if he still has it or not. You never know with comics, but
yeah. I haven't checked on him lately, but he's deadly with pretty much anything. Hawkeye is mostly known for his bows and arrows.
But Hawkeye has been shown to be deadly with pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think Bullseye's more practiced at it.
You think so?
He killed Elektra.
Yeah, but he didn't throw anything at her.
No, he used her psi against her.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm thinking, what if these guys were, I mean, if they're, let's say they're 100, 100 yards away from one another, Hawkeye further away is probably going to be a little bit deadlier than Bullseye. I mean, because what's Bullseye? I mean, he doesn't even have anything. I mean, what's he going to throw? I mean, he's going to, he doesn't have a regular weapon. He just picks up paper clips and bottle caps and like chunks them at people. You know, what's he going to throw? What does he usually throw?
Doesn't he usually have, like, cards, which is silly to me, but...
Yeah. He can't even charge them up and explode them.
I know.
So...
I'm not sure he has blades.
I think the fact that Hawkeye runs with the big boys on a daily basis, I think he can take whatever Bullseye can throw at him.
Yeah.
He's resourceful, he's tough... plus an arrow is pretty deadly. I mean, he's got his arsenal with him, unlike Bullseye, who doesn't.
That doesn't mean Bullseye's weaponless. It just means that he, because anything to him is a weapon.
Okay, what if they were fighting in a big glass room with nothing inside of it?
Then he would probably break one of the glass and use a shard and throw it at him.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
He'd bite off a tooth and spit it at him. Hit him right in the jugular.
How are Bullseye's reflexes? Would he be able to, let's say, catch one of Hawkeye's arrows?
Yeah, there you go.
But would Hawkeye miss? You know, that's
yeah, he Bullseye did get toe-to-toe against Elektra, so he has to have good enough reflexes to stand with her.
These guys have had to have fought before. Haven't they?
I would possibly.
I know, it seems like a good matchup.
I mean, I know Bullseye, I mean, he impersonated Hawkeye during the whole Dark Avengers thing.
True.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they actually went toe-to-toe or not.
I don't recall ever seeing them, but I don't own that many Bullseye appearances.
Yeah. Hawkeye, Bullseye. That's interesting. Well, if you out there listeners have any thoughts on the matter, feel free to email us or contact us or put a notice under our front doormat if you'd like, if you know where we live. So let's see. Well, you know what? Let's vote. Let's vote on it. Let's vote on Hawkeye Bullseye before we move on.
All right.
Go for it, Dan.
I say Hawkeye.
Okay.
I say Bullseye.
All right. Oh, crap. I should have thought this through.
Here's the deciding vote.
I'm going to have to give it to Hawkeye. Yeah.
You guys always vote against me.
Yeah, I know. I know. I think Hawkeye could pull it out there in the end. So, all right. So moving on. In this segment, for our fight of the week, we always choose a category of fighter, and you know, for example, a flyer, a matter manipulator, or a mega level character, whatever. And each guest is asked to secretly pick one fighter who fits in that category to defend against the other managers. If multiple guests pick the same fighter, then they can gang up on the other hosts or guests. So if the majority of guests vote that a particular fighter violates that week's cap, the fighter will be disallowed and the manager publicly shamed as a cheater. So there you go. Last week, everybody it was a crazy, crazy show. Guests were asked to draft one character whose power is directly related to an animal. I still don't think we understand what that phrasing actually means, but they can resemble the animal or merely draw from the power of that animal. So they have to be more than just merely named after the animal. So, So Eli picked Cosmo, the telepathic dog. Billy picked Sasquatch. Ian picked the Inhumans' Lockjaw. And after a little bit of discussion about whether or not Ant-Man qualified, which he did, he got voted down. I picked the awesome, the wonderful Fin Fang Foom, and so it was quite a fatal four-way there, and there was the conversation continued onto the forums. And here are the results of that fight. With 43% of the votes, Cosmo pulls out the win.
Against what the fuck?
I know, exactly. Exactly. So Cosmo pulls out the win with 43%, followed by Fin Fang Foom with 29%, and Sasquatch and Lockjaw only gained 14% each. So thanks everybody for going out there and voting. You know, what can I say? Eli posted some scans of Cosmo like obliterating somebody with telekinesis.
I'm so sick of telepaths and telekinetics.
I know. Yeah. It looks like Moses was the one who got the last vote in, and he voted
probably.
Cosmo. So,
but who would have been the third? Like, I don't think.
Speech.
With speech, yeah.
Speech said he was leaning.
Yeah,
Cosmo.
I guess so. Yeah, that's what it looks like. I voted Fin Fang Foom. I don't think those other. I mean, look at the size of him.
I know, seriously.
And Cosmo's like a 50-pound dog.
I know. Yep. And Fin Fang Foom is actually telepathic. So what the
and
heck?
And he can fly and breathe fire and knows martial arts and can cook.
Exactly. Good thing, can cook.
And spit acid at people.
And of course, the most important thing, has opposable thumbs.
Yes. And is not spending his time sniffing somebody else's butt.
That's right.
So, I mean.
Wearing a space suit.
Exactly. So.
How does he poop?
Does he
telekinetically pull it out of his spacesuit?
He has a hatch. There's a hatch for that. All right. So for this week, here's the stipulations for this week's fight. You guys are asked to draft one character who currently has a physical handicap. They might be deaf, blind, missing a leg, etc. The handicap has to have happened through accident or birth. Okay? Therefore, characters who have caused the handicap themselves by maybe trying to make their own modifications to their own body need not apply. Like Ian
Lady
used,
Deathstrike.
Yeah, or exactly. Or Ian used the example of Dr. Octopus. You know, mm-hmm. He has these extra appendages, but they're not, you know. They were
modifications. Yeah, but technically that was an accident, though.
Yeah, but that didn't handicap him.
True.
Yeah. So that's the difference there. So the fight will take place in the creepy tunnels of the abandoned city, Cincinnati subway, which is the longest abandoned subway in the United States.
Which is where?
Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't catch that last stipulation. I'm trying to make sure.
What? It can't be somebody who, like, grafts something onto themselves. You know, that's not a handicap.
But, like, if they're injured in battle and lose, say, lose a sense or a body part or something, that still counts.
Right.
Okay.
Like, technically, Forge would count, right? Because he lost his limb.
Right.
He merely replaced it, but he didn't take his leg off to augment it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to also remember that Forge sucks balls. So,
oh, I wouldn't pick him. That's why I'm using him as an example.
So there you go. So let's see. Let's do this a fair way. Pick a number between 1 and 10, Dan.
6.
Tom?
3.
Dan goes first. It was 8.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I guess I'm going to pull an Eli here.
Uh-oh. Well, you're going to pull you're going to have a telekinetic person.
I will have a telekinetic, and I bet you can guess who it is. I'm going to pick Hellion.
Oh, that's my second choice.
Oh, I forgot about Hellion.
That was my second choice.
Oh, man, I completely forgot about him. So for those of you who don't know, Hellion lost his hands.
His arms.
Half his arms. And so he telekinetically controls these little floating hands, which is pretty cool. So, good job. Yeah, that was a great pick.
Yeah, that was my second choice.
All right, Tom.
I'm going to pick Belasco.
Oh, the one-armed demon?
Yeah.
Is that a handicap?
He's missing an arm.
What's the story there? I forgot.
I can't remember. That's what I was looking up, was how he lost it, but I don't see where he cut it off himself.
I think he lost it to magic. I mean, that was how she got control of Limbo.
Mm-hmm. So she cut it off during battle, right?
Yes. Do we want to look that up real quick?
I'm looking at it right now. I'm still trying to.
Okay. All right. Well, mine is neither of those. Those of you who know me know that I'm a huge New Warriors fan. I love the New Warriors. And one of my favorite characters on the New Warriors was a character by the name of Silhouette. Silhouette was, I don't know if you guys even remember her.
Yeah, she's got crutches, right?
She's got crutches. So what happened was she got into a gang fight. Her brother was kind of this gang lord guy. And she got caught in the crossfire and got shot. And was on crutches, but what we find out later is that she's actually is she a mutant? No, I don't know if she. I don't know if she's a mutant.
Silhouette's a mutant, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I always thought she was. I'm trying to look that up, but anyway, either way. Oh, she is a mutant. Yes, okay, I did.
Yeah, she can become living shadow teleportation, and martial artist. Well, martial arts isn't really a mutant power, but she works with shadows.
But the other cool thing is that she has these awesome like hand crutches, but she totally kicks ass with the hand crutches and the.
Which is funny because I'm looking at a picture of her and she's actually wearing heels.
Yeah, I'm looking at that same one. Yeah, but she also has poison tips in those crutches too, so she can fight you with those and stab you with them and poison you. So let's see. So we've got Belasco, Hellion, and Silhouette in the Battle of the Handicap Folks. So go for it. Who wants to start us off?
And we're in a subway tunnel, right?
We're in a subway tunnel.
So Belasco's in his home environment. He's underground in a dank, dark atmosphere. He's a master, one of the most powerful sorcerers around. So he basically can just wipe out the other two without breaking a sweat. He's an enemy who's fought the X-Men before. So he's, let's see, he can he can teleport, he can shoot concussive bolts, create protective shields. So he's got the full spectrum. I mean, we're talking about Doctor Strange versus, you know, Daredevil here type stuff.
Huh.
Actually, Doctor Strange would be a good choice because his hands are crippled.
No, they're not really anymore.
No. See, one that was, I was just talking about second choices and stuff. My other two picks were, the first one was Tyr.
The
Asgardian God of War.
Oh, okay.
He's missing a hand. He lost a hand in battle.
Nice.
Didn't replace it or anything. It's just a stub. Sometimes he attaches a shield to it or something like that, but that's about it. So that was one. I mean, it's an Asgardian right there, so, you know, that was pretty powerful, but not so much fun. My other one was Blade. I didn't even know Blade lost his hand.
Really?
I didn't.
Yeah, in the Shaken run in those early issues.
Yeah.
At some point, his hand was cut off, and he replaced it with like a robotic one or a cybernetic hand.
Huh. Wow.
Other useless facts about Blade.
Well, there you go. That's probably nobody picked Daredevil either.
Well, Daredevil's too much of an obvious choice, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
It's true.
Definitely. So, well, here's my question about Belasco, though. Is that guy only really that powerful in Limbo? I mean, has he ever been to Earth? Like, I don't ever remember him coming to Earth, and like, I always remember him being very powerful, but in Limbo.
No, it says Belasco is one of the most powerful sorcerers on Earth. And possesses a wide knowledge of mystical black arts.
Shut up, Dan. God.
I'm looking at the same page.
I think we all are.
And apparently the only way he lost his arm was with some sword that was forged by elder gods.
Oh, okay.
The only thing that has power to harm him. Kazar
impaled him on his sword and beat him once that way.
Oh, see, Kazar beat him. Okay, we're good.
So there you go. Well,
yeah, and then if we look at this, I mean, the good thing about, you know, a great choice for you, Jeff, is if we're in subway tunnels, I mean, Silhouette's right at home.
Well, that's kind of why I chose her. Because being a master of the Dark Force dimension, she can, she can move in and out of shadows. She can teleport via shadows. She's basically invisible while in the dark.
Belasco loves beating up and torturing little girls. I mean, that's what he's always done with Ileana.
Well, Silhouette is also very good at kicking ass for guys who like to beat up little girls. So I don't know that actually, but that's my defense against what you just said. So,
and the fun thing about Hellion is when he uses his powers, he glows bright green. So. Screw your dark.
He stands out.
Yeah. So
he'll expose both Silhouette and himself and just give Belasco that much easier shot. Although, I mean, being from Limbo, he obviously is used to the dark.
Belasco, did you see the way the guy dresses, honestly?
I didn't take him for his fashion sense.
He's wearing a dress with a big yellow belt hiked up around his nipples.
Well, he is eons old.
That was a style back in the day.
Yeah, I guess so. And there's another thing. He's old.
Yeah,
he's just an old guy.
Yeah, he is. He's old and old.
So is either Hellion or Silhouette ruled their own dimension?
What?
Have the other two actually ruled their own dimension before, though?
Well, it depends on what you call their dimension.
Yeah,
no, does it? You know. No, see, okay, so really how this is going to go down is Silhouette and Hellion are going to team up to take on Belasco. And
they are both mutants. They're both X-Men.
That's right. Know? That's right. And so
and then they'll duke it out after.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't think that Belasco is immune to poison tip crutches. You show me the panel, the comic where he has taken a hit from a poison tip crutch, and I will concede the point. But but you know, I think she would sneak around, she would jump out, she would fight him, she would poison him, and he would pass out. And at least he would be dazed enough for Hellion to come in and give him a huge TK blast and just
wedgie.
A demon wedgie. And
you know what the fun thing is about Belasco? He can't teleport, so I can pull an Eli and I can hold Belasco suspended in the middle of the tunnel, and there's nothing he can do.
Well, and the other part is, here's the other weakness that Belasco has. You can stand on his right side, and he can't do anything to you.
He's got a tail. His tail's prehensile, just like Nightcrawler.
Well, stand on the right side. Don't stand behind him, and don't stand on his left. So just stay.
The tail can reach around.
Stay a reasonable distance from him on his right side, and you'll be okay. But see, Silhouette has crutches, and she can jab him. And then
he's got a sword
and sneak into the thing. Nah, that's not gonna happen.
And then on top of that, he can control the minds of he can basically take over Hellion and Silhouette's minds both. Put him in his thrall, or just grab one and turn them against the other.
He doesn't have a thrall.
He'll make terrible.
That reminds me. Aaron texted me today. And asked me what the use of a thurible was, and I never answered him, so I got to do that later. Sorry.
Just tell him to go watch The Exorcist.
There you go. Yeah, so.
I mean, I'm looking at Belasco's references here. And one of the last things he did in the Marvel Universe is there was a storyline in Alpha Flight. Come on.
Yeah, right. that should just disqualify him right there.
Isn't Belasco still in charge of Limbo too?
No.
Ileana
finally beat him out again?
Yeah. That was the whole fantastic new X-Men run that Scotty Young and Chris Yost and Craig Kyle did.
X-Infernus or
No, this one was the Quest for Magic.
Oh, okay.
No, X-Infernus happened after.
After, yeah. Magic is when they went to retrieve her in Limbo.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then she had that whole Dark Child form.
Right.
Yeah, they haven't updated this then, because I wasn't sure if what they're talking about here with the Rev storyline was before or after that.
Yeah. Oh, wait a second. I'm just reading something here. Belasco's powers are somehow linked to those of Magic. When they fought in other place, Magic took on her Dark Child form. Belasco simultaneously reverted to human form, losing most of his powers and invulnerability in the process.
Really? Mm-hmm. Like, right now?
Well, it doesn't say.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's just the last part in his powers.
Oh. So it just depends on if Magic is turning into Dark Child. That's never been revealed to be other than when they fought each other, though, has it? Because she's turned to Dark Child many times.
How do you know? You haven't read comics in 5 years.
I haven't read them. I'm just not caught up on continuity yet.
There you go.
Oh, he fought the Punisher.
Belasco did?
Well, Mephisto has fought everybody, you know?
As Lucifer? I don't know. I don't understand this. Cool concept for a character, but a bit of a joke here in the Marvel Universe. Anyways, if we're talking about a tunnel, I mean, they'll definitely team up, I think. Our guys are going to team up. Me and Jeff are teaming up.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we're taking out this Belasco dude, and then we're going to do nasty things to each other.
Yeah. I've got a crutch that I'll do something with. There you go. All right. Well, anything else you guys have to offer?
Let's discuss Hellion a bit. What's happening with Hellion? What's happening with Hellion?
Right now,
last we seen him was what, X-23, and apparently he went to the Jean Grey school where he was never heard from again.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, I think. Yeah, but yeah, he is wandering the halls there.
It's too bad because they shoved a bunch of mutants at the Jean Grey school, which never made it into the huge cast of Wolverine and the X-Men.
Right.
stupid.
Well, yeah, you got great new characters like iBoy or whatever.
I know iBoy. Anyways,
anyway,
we digress. But
yeah,
Hellion, very very strong telekinetic. Pretty much invulnerable with TK shields. I mean, he's one of the top telekinetics in the Marvel Universe at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Under Rachel and under who else? Not that many telekinetics left.
No, there really aren't. Justice.
Nate Gray isn't that strong.
What about Princess Power?
Who?
From Runaways.
Oh. Yeah, but she wasn't technically a telekinetic. She had to actually touch something, right?
Who?
Well, her strength was due to her telekinetic abilities. They're still fairly dormant, but she's...
Who, Molly Hayes?
Yeah.
Really? I never knew that she was... I just thought she was just super powerful. I didn't know it was...
Her strength, though, is a form of telekinesis. That's the thing. As they said, when she gets older, her telekinesis will evolve into, like, full-blown TK.
Mm. Isn't that kind of how Superboy was?
Yeah, he still is.
Okay.
Huh. Although they, I don't know, last I saw they're mucking around with that a little bit. He's wearing Superman's uniform right at the moment. I'm still waiting on new issues to arrive. But they
are we allowed to pick, are we allowed to pick DC characters for these fights? Something I never asked.
That's a good question. I don't think so.
We never really specified that it was Marvel only, right?
I don't think we did.
No. All right. That's fine.
But you'll have to take that up with Ian.
I know. I'll just have to start picking Batman for everything, because he fits in the
category. Exactly.
I think he still has a broken back in the new 52.
God, that won't stop him. he'd be eligible for a handicap otherwise, anyways, because he's Batman. What's the reasoning behind him being eligible for this? Batman.
We pick Deathstroke because he's got one eye.
See, that would have worked. Although Deathstroke sucks, so.
Yeah, that's true. You could have picked Nick Fury for that for that matter.
Nick Fury, the black Nick Fury, right?
Yeah, or the white one for that matter.
Oh yeah, I guess he's retired. He's like on a beach in Florida or something.
I guess so. Yeah, yeah.
Could you imagine Nick Fury on the beach?
Nick, I never realized Nick Fury rhymes with Mick Flurry.
Flurry, I know, eh? That's crazy.
Wow.
You just blew his alias. That's his cover ID.
Nicholas Flurry. Retired hockey player.
Jamie, when he wants to go incognito, that's his alter ego.
Oh, that's good. That's good. All right. So anything else, Hellion?
Not really. I mean, it's TK. It's pretty self-explanatory, right? Go in there, a bit of a team-up with Silhouette. They both take on Belasco, and then they start to fight each other. Now, the question being, who would win between Silhouette and Hellion? So there we go. We just threw Belasco out of the fight.
That's true. Well, I can answer that question.
Oh, yeah, Hellion. Sure.
No, Silhouette, totally.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
What's she going to do, throw a crutch at him? Seriously?
No, she wouldn't throw a crutch at him. She'd teleport him into the Dark Force dimension.
Into the Dark Force? Oh, she can teleport people.
Sure, yeah. If she can go through...
Doesn't she have to grab them to teleport them, though?
Yeah, sure. She'll bite his neck and pull him in.
Not with a TK bubble around him.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point.
Besides which, by then, Belasco will have taken over one of their minds and just throw them against each other anyway.
Yeah.
For his own
I'm going to throw my hands at you.
Okay. All right. I guess you win there.
He's like Rock Slide, but cooler.
I should have picked Wiz Kid.
Wiz Kid, what's wrong with him?
He's in a wheelchair, but he's like a technomorph, so he can like change his legs, the wheelchair into any form of mechanical thing.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
Would Alistair Smythe have been...
What's his handicap?
Wasn't he stuck to a wheelchair for the longest time?
I don't remember that. But he's not now, though.
No, now he's got like a bionic suit type thing.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about Jamie Braddock.
No.
Insane.
Captain Britain? What?
No, Jamie, not Brian.
His big brother, the one who can warp reality.
No, we were thinking physical handicap, not mental handicaps.
Oh.
Because, yeah, then I would have picked Legion, and then that would have went. That would have won.
Oh, yeah. I would have picked Cape Killer.
All right, so next week, our guests are going to be asked to draft a character from the Marvel, I'm going to be specific here, the Marvel Golden Age.
Ooh, okay.
So what's the year cap? 70? What's Golden Age?
Well, I think Golden Age is...
through the end of World War II, so 30 through like 49.
Yeah, yeah. So nobody...
39 to 49.
Yeah.
Nobody, so none of the Marvel characters. Captain America, that's who we can pick.
Well, Captain America, there's
Bucky, Human Torch,
Namor.
Yeah, there's a lot.
But
yeah.
Seriously, all those people, like pre-60s?
Are they do they have to be alive in the Golden Age, or they don't have to be alive today?
No. They were just picking Golden Age.
Interesting.
The Golden Age, but they don't have to be active today.
Correct.
That really limited to like Namor and Captain America and Bucky.
Well, right.
Like all those invaders guys. Wolverine would be eligible? No.
No, he's not a Golden Age character. I'm thinking of they had to have been created in the Golden Age of comic books, which
all
was
right.
in that period of the 30s and 40s.
Yeah. So like the Invaders, Liberty Legion.
Yeah. Yeah, just go Google Marvel Golden Age and there are plenty of characters out there. To choose from. So, and some, you know, this will test a little bit of our, not just our history, but also just a little bit of creativity, because there are some pretty whacked out dudes in the Golden Age. So,
oh, I just saw a good one.
Yeah. So there you go. So, but the fight is going to take place in the underground city in Montreal, which is huge complex, underground complex. I had forgotten, I chose this and I had forgotten about this fight tonight being in the subway tunnels, but this is more of a public place underground rather than an abandoned place underground. So Underground City, Montreal. Sound good?
Sounds good. I've been there.
Have you? So you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I know.
Okay. You might be the only one.
I've been to Montreal many times, but I don't think I've ever been there.
Yeah.
The subway system in Montreal is insane. Like it's I've never been to the New York City one. Yeah. I can imagine New York's has a better subway system, but as far as in this area, I don't think many places beat Montreal's subway system.
Yeah. Speaking of subways, I live in an extremely small town, little bitty village here in Georgia, and there's an old house that's, you know, about just around a block from my house, and they're turning it into a Subway restaurant. And but see, my kids are pretty young, and they haven't grown, I mean, they've never grown up anywhere but here. And so there's a sign that says Subway coming soon, and they're like, whoa, we're getting a Subway? Like, they thought that, like, we were really getting a underground Subway here in the thriving metropolis of Hamilton, Georgia. But I had to explain to them, no, it's actually a Subway sandwich shop. So, anyway. Yeah.
But you're going to love it.
But yeah. Oh, yeah, it's great. It's great. You will not be able to take it from here to your school, but... anyway, but it will taste good. So, well, that wraps up this show. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to you guys for being here tonight, and for all you listeners out there for humoring us here at Contest of Champions by listening to the podcast. Feel free to tell us what you think of the show by following us on any of the social media platforms around out there. Follow us on Twitter at COC Podcast. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/COC Podcast. Join us on the Comic Attack forums by going to comicattack.former.com or comment on the post for this episode on comicattack.net. You can also check us out at comicrelated.com and their forums as well. Or you can go to the old, just go the old-fashioned route and, you know, type a tele, go to your Western Union and get, send us a telegram or something like that. Or you can email us at jeff@comicattack.net or capekiller@yahoo.ca. So we record every Sunday night at 9 p.m. and the show is available for download on iTunes and other venues, usually on Tuesday. So leave us a review. So especially on iTunes, go leave us a review so we can give you a shout-out on the show. So anyway, guys, thanks again for being here. Thanks to Dan and Tom, who took their busy time out of their busy schedule to be here with us on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Good to have you guys, as always. And from just little old me, Father Jeff, here at COC, we wish everybody a great week. Enjoy everything. And I need to figure out a better way to close the show. So, see you next week.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Wow.
Excellent.
That was good, man. You held that one there.
Let's get ready to rumble!